episode is made possible by purchasing resources through the Creation Science for Kids Shop.
Welcome to the Creation Science
for Kids
Show. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. Psalm 111, verses 1 through 4. This is episode 6 of the podcast where we learn about Jesus, our Creator, and His amazing world. Hi, I'm Sherry Fields, your host, and I'm joined today by my co-hosts, Charity.
Hi.
And Joseph.
Hello.
Today we're going to talk about where God came from, explore how our brains can be tricked, and learn some basics about rocks. It's an exciting program, and I can't wait to get started. But first, I'd like to ask you for a favor. If you're listening to this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, please take a minute to leave us a review. It helps more people find us, and it will be exciting to see what you like best. Thanks! Today we're going to look at one of the biggest questions in the universe. Who made God? What if I asked you, where did our house come from? What would you say?
Well, people built it.
Uh-huh.
Trees grew, people cut them down, sliced them into boards, sent them to the company. The company built the house, plus the guys
right.
came in.
Yeah, and you can even talk about how people dug the iron out of the rocks and made the nails. Yeah, there's lots of things, and it all comes back to stuff that was there around before. What about that tree? Where did that tree come from to get the boards?
A seed.
And where did the seed come from?
A tree.
Another tree.
And where did the tree come from?
Another seed.
Uh-huh. And would you ever get to the end of it
by
just thinking about trees?
No,
you would not. We call this cause and effect. In order to have something happen, the effect, you have to have a cause. But does this work with God? Did something or somebody make him? Does he have a beginning like the heaven and earth do?
No.
I'm going to read a couple of verses while you guys look up Exodus chapter 3. In Revelation 22:13, Jesus says, "I am the Alpha, the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega, the last letter of the Greek alphabet, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." In Isaiah 41 verse 4, God is talking about how he works in history and says, "Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am he." Now, let's look at Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." See those words in all caps, I am that I am, and I am? If you wanted some fancier words to describe what God is saying, you could interpret this as, I am the one who exists, the existing one. What does it mean to exist?
Means to be there.
To be there, yes. So God, when he's telling Moses who he is, he says, I am the one who is there. This stuff is bigger than our brains can handle. Ever tried to picture time going on forever?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not easy, but you can do it.
It's like a long, 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 long day that never ends.
Right. You can kind of picture time going forwards. But now, can you think about time going backwards without ever ending? Think about that too long and you might fry a brain circuit. But this is what God is like. He doesn't change. Everything in the creation was made by him, but nothing made him. He's always been here. God is the uncaused cause, the only self-existent being in the universe. And this is important because you have to have an uncaused cause. Remember, we were at that hotel once that had the mirrors opposite each other so that you could look, and they kept seeing the reflections getting smaller and smaller and smaller. At some point, you have to have a beginning. If you don't, it just stops working. Like, we know that the law of thermodynamics, that everything is wearing down, that you can't get any new energy. Everything in the universe is getting closer and closer to being cold and having no energy left. So we know there has to have been a beginning. God tells us He is that beginning. Now, if you turn to the first verse in the Bible, Genesis 1:1, it starts out just talking about God. It says, in the beginning, God created. It doesn't say, you can believe there actually is a God, because the Bible always assumes that we know God exists, because He is there. And the more you think about it, there are people who study logic and how the world works, and they recognize you have to have this uncaused cause. So you can keep studying this for the rest of your life, but the basics, what's going on, like in Exodus 3, where God says, I am that I am, you can understand that just fine. All right, we've really given our brains a workout on that one. Let's give our eyes a workout. Now, I know this is an audio podcast, so you won't be able to see what we're doing, but I've got some great links in the show notes for you to try these out for yourself at creationscience4kids.com/006. Be sure to check it out. We use our eyes to understand the world all day long. Life would be pretty different for most of us if we lost our vision somehow, but we can't always trust what our eyes are telling us. A really fun thing to do is check out optical illusions. We found a book on them at the library, and I found a couple great websites to share with you as well. I was looking at a design book the other day, and it was talking about color, how if you use the color red, it kind of leaps out of the page, and blue colors tend to go backwards. You can use that to make an optical illusion. Like in this book, it shows a weird sort of triangle that goes round and round. One side is red and the other side is a teal blue. You get a 3D effect just with those colors. You can also have where it looks like the circles are going towards you or away because of the colors that they used. Which one looks like it's popping out at you?
The red one.
Uh-huh. And which one looks like it's going down into a tunnel?
The one with the blue in the middle.
Yeah, and all they did, it's the same shape. They just switched the colors around. Here's one online that uses color. How many colors are there in this picture?
1, 2, 4.
Four? What do you think, Joseph?
Me too. 4.
4?
No, it looks like 2.
Yeah.
3.
Well, 3 with?
White.
White, yes. There's only one green, one pinkish red, and then the white. But it looks like where the green and the red are right next to each other, that both the green and red are darker. That's another kind of color illusion. There are other ways you can do illusions besides color. Oh yes, the one for colorblind people is a lot of fun, where you've got the dots, and if you aren't colorblind, you can see, like here, it's got some numbers in the middle, but it's just a bunch of circles. Then this is one of my favorite illusions, where you have a grid. This happens in life, where you have wires or black lines making a grid, and if you look long enough at the intersections, it'll turn colors. That's your eyes. Well, we're not entirely sure how it works, but if you stare at it long enough, you start to see black dots at the intersections where the white lines cross.
I see white dots.
Yeah, stare at one spot and you'll see the white dot, like right in the middle, will stay white. But if you kind of pay attention to the intersections that you're not looking at, and you'll see how they turn black. Do you see that? Yeah, that's one thing about optical illusions. Not everybody sees the same thing because our eyes are a little different. Oh, yes. Then there's the ones with the swirling circles. These are some of the coolest, where it's not a moving graphic, but you stare at it long enough and it sure looks like those circles are spinning around, doesn't it? Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. Surely those things are moving. Then there's things that make things seem like they're in a different scale. The up and down lines on this one are, which one is longer? The one on the left or the one on the right?
I had this in a book once.
Yes,
this and is a very they're common. Both the they're, same.
Yes, but are your eyes telling you that, or does your brain already
know it?
It looks like
the right one is bigger.
Yes. Yeah, artists use this all the time. It's called forced perspective. It makes certain things look bigger.
This looks like the top of the triangle, uh-huh. And this one looks like a side of a square. Yeah.
So optical illusions are a lot of fun, but what you can learn from it is just because your eyes and your brain are saying something, does that mean it's true?
No.
No. That's another reason we need God, because ideas can seem quite true. Look at those. Are those straight lines or are they all crooked?
They are all straight,
but they do not look straight at all. When people are going to build a building, they don't dare trust their eyes. They use something called a plumb line to actually tell whether it's going straight up and down. Do you know how a plumb line works?
No, not exactly.
Charity?
No.
No? You've got a string with a weight at the end. Why? How would that work?
Because the weight wants to go straight down.
Yep, gravity pulls it straight down, and that tells you whether it's straight or not. When the Greeks were building the Parthenon, that big temple, they used forced perspective to make their columns appear straight. Because if you have a perfectly straight columns, if you're standing at a distance from it, or close rather, they'll look bent. So they bent them on purpose so they would look straight, even though they weren't. It's kind of crazy how our brain works. But God knew what he was doing, and he gave us ways to tell what the real truth is, not just what we perceive. Oh yes, I found out on one of the kids' optical illusion websites that this year, 2015, has been called the International Year of Light and Light-Based Technologies, helping people recognize the importance these have in our lives. In the show notes, you'll find a link to an article I've written about how light can be used as an analogy, helping us understand how Jesus's nature works. Now, it's time to hear from you. What do you have for us today, Joseph?
An introduction to rocks.
Great, let's hear it.
Rocks are made out of a mixture of minerals. And minerals are made out of atoms. Atoms are like building blocks to form the minerals that make rocks. For example, quartz is made of silicon and oxygen atoms. They're packed together like marbles in a jar. If you only have silicon and oxygen, it's the quartz is clear, but if there are other impurities in it, it might be another color like red, which is called rose quartz. And there's also brown, which is called smoky quartz, or even purple and blue, which is called amethyst. Amethyst is an example of a gem. Gems are rock crystals that can be cut and polished, and people like to wear them. There are three main types of rocks. There's igneous rock, there's sedimentary rocks, and there are metamorphic rocks. Igneous rocks were once molten, which means liquid, although creationists believe some igneous rocks were made at the creation. Sedimentary rocks are made out of bits of rocks that were laid down by water or wind or ice and chemically cemented. And metamorphic rocks were rocks that were once igneous or sedimentary that had been exposed to heat or pressure that transformed them into metamorphic rocks. For example, diamonds were once ordinary carbon that had been exposed to heat and pressure, transforming into diamonds.
Okay, thank you for that report, Joseph. Where did you find the information for this?
In Exploring Geology with Mr. Hibb.
Oh yes, that book we got from Creation Ministries International. By the way, if you would like to get a copy of this book, which covers all kinds of cool things about rocks, the flood, the ice age, and you get to meet a very cool grasshopper, you can go to creationscience4kids.com/shop and find my affiliate link. You don't pay any extra, and it helps support this podcast and website. Here's a joke for you. Where do geologists like to relax?
I don't know.
In a rocking chair.
Oh.
Do you like science? Got a subject you want to learn about? Or maybe you like telling stories. If you send me a report, story, joke, or interesting idea, I might use it in a future show. Head over to creationsciencethenumber4kids.com/podcast to contact me. Want to share our show with your friends? I've made YouTube and Facebook videos of this podcast so you can easily share it with just a click of a button. Well, this finishes up our show for today. Until next time, have fun treasuring our amazing universe and creator. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Revelation 4:11.